Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Lacrosse Unit Talk Series, powered by Google Hangout. John Gelati here. This week we were joined by the Duke Blue Devils first midfield live from Durham, North Carolina. David Lawson, Jake Trapuka, and Christian Walsh joined us after a big Duke win in the NCAA quarterfinals over Notre Dame, sending them to their seventh straight Final Four against Cornell Saturday, 2:30 from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, live on ESPN2. We were very happy to get the Blue Devils midfield. This line has been very productive all year long. David Lawson coming off a 5-goal game in the quarterfinals. Jake Trapuka has had an excellent year as well. Christian Walsh, a converted attackman who's come down from attack as Case Mathias, has matured at that attack line for Duke and has made a nice addition to the midfield. And Duke, probably one of the deepest teams left in the tournament. They run their second line a lot with Josh Offit, Miles Jones, and Demer Klass. So a nice chemistry between those two lines, and we got a good talk in with the first line and how they've kind of come together this year, how they work in with the offense, the enigma and magic that is John Donowski's coaching, and a little bit about the streak of seven straight Final Fours. Also, their last two playoff games, both 12-11 finishes, have had to come back from deficits late to win those games. So seems like Duke just kind of, as their seasons have gone over the last couple of years and going down early and having to come back late, that seems to have happened in the playoffs so far. So we were happy to get some great stuff out of those guys. We appreciate their time. This is the audio pulled from the Google Hangout. You can access the video files at Inside the Cross's YouTube account as well as our Google Plus page. We are nearing 80,000 fans on Google Plus. We appreciate all the support there. You can also find it on InsideLacrosse.com. We encourage you to share this podcast through Twitter, Facebook, whatever floats your boat. Please spread it around. You can email me at jgelati@InsideLacrosse.com. You can also tweet at me at jgelati. You can find all of our podcasts on iTunes at the Inside Lacrosse account. You can also find them at InsideLacrosse.com/podcasts. So we've had a nice little run with these Google Hangouts. They've been fun, a little bit challenging from a technical side and converting people of the technology, but they've been a fun experience. So we encourage you to check out our Google Plus and YouTube accounts for all of those archived chats. We also did earlier ones with Syracuse's first midfield and Cornell's attack, and we're hoping to do another one with Denver's attack this week before the Final Four. Enjoy the games at Lincoln Financial Field. If you're in the area, please come out. If not, watch on ESPN2 and follow along on InsideLacrosse.com. Enjoy the podcast, and we thank the Duke Blue Devils again and wish them the best of luck this weekend.
All right, welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Unit Talk Series, powered by Google Hangout. This week, we are joined by a very special guest from Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke University, the first midfield from the Duke Blue Devils, David Lawson, Jake Trapuka, and Christian Walsh. How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Nice. Well, we are lucky to have these guys coming off a huge win on the weekend out in Indianapolis and coming up on a huge semifinal appearance, the seventh straight Final Four for the Duke Blue Devils. Just kind of first off, what does that mean, saying seven straight Final Fours for you guys? How are you guys feeling right now?
I'll take this one. We're feeling great. Obviously pumped to be back to the Final Four and really excited to play at Cornell.
And just talk about last week's game. I mean, you know, we'll start with Sunday. And just kind of how that thing came together. I mean, you guys go down a couple late and just kind of fight back and win it. What was the key there for you guys?
That's good. Yeah, I think anytime you play a team like Notre Dame, it forces you to kind of work for each goal, each possession. You know, it's definitely huge for us just to keep fighting, kind of stick to what we do. And I think it shows the last couple of weeks we've kind of battled back. But I think we're fortunate to, you know, get some bounces here and there. I think that we just kind of kept fighting, kept trying to figure it out. In the end, all that matters is scoring one more goal than the other team, and that's what you really want at any game. So, you know, I feel that if we just keep fighting against most teams, you know, in the end, we're just gonna look up and see who scores more goals.
And before I forget, if you guys don't mind, could you introduce yourselves to the fans out there so everybody can pick up your audio and beautiful faces?
Yeah, my name is Christian Walsh. I'm a junior midfielder, used to be an attackman. I still like to call myself the hybrid position, but I'm mostly midfield this year, and I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, went to the Boys Latin School. And I'm still really disappointed after that BL loss.
I don't blame you. That was a heck of a game. Yeah, sorry, well, keep going.
Dave Lawson, number two, I'm a senior midfielder from Western Massachusetts, and I went to the Middlesex School.
And I'm Jake Chapuka. I'm a senior midfielder here from Penn Township, New Jersey, and I'm a midfielder as well.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. So what were you guys talking about? You go down to, with what, 9:29 left to play in the game, with the season on the line. What do you guys talk about in that huddle? What do you talk about, like, at that moment? What's kind of the attitude like on the team?
I think we've done, if this is the second week in a row, we've been down in the fourth quarter late, and I think we've just done a great job of keeping our composure, not really freaking out. And it's almost like we kind of just make eye contact and kind of like, you know, we're going to do this, and we keep each other calm, and we just kind of go out and play and see what happens. And, you know, we've been fortunate the past 2 weeks to come up with a W.
And I can speak as a junior, we got a great senior class, and Dave and Jake Chapuka, and also I'd be wrong not to talk about Josh Offit too, who plays on our second midfield line, who's been amazing. And those guys just leading us. It's really easy just to look to them and know that they want to get it done really badly because this is their last year, and we just follow their lead.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that second line at one point, but why don't we start with you, with Dave? I mean, 5 goals in that game last week. You ended up scoring the eventual game winner. What were you feeling? I mean, what was kind of, was there a different feeling out there? What were you kind of seeing and feeling out there?
I think it was just one of those days where my shots were falling, so I kept shooting, and I took 11 shots, and just kept letting it rip, and it was falling apart.
Christian and Jake, were you seeing anything special out of him on Sunday?
Yeah, I definitely think in kind of any sporting or any sport, you kind of feel that somebody's kind of feeling it, so you want to kind of get them the ball in spots where they can, you know, be or score the ball. So I definitely think Dave kind of had that in him. I didn't know he was going to score 5 goals, but you kind of just keep feeding it to him, and you know, making a play at the end of the game, which he's made plenty of times, and just goes to show, you know, what kind of player he is.
Well, how you guys kind of came together, you know, maybe midway through this year. It seemed like, Christian, you started off at attack, as you mentioned, and this unit came together, you know, midway Maryland Loyola game, it seemed like to me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what's been the key to the chemistry development of you guys as the top unit?
I think it's just as the season progresses, you know, we practice a ton, we play a lot, and the chemistry just develops through that and just by playing together a lot. And I don't think it's anything, you know, specific, no magic formula. It's just a lot of practices, a lot of playing together, and eventually, you know, as in past seasons, it kind of comes together for us.
And I'd add to that, I mean, these two make it easy for me. I'm not really expected to do a whole lot. I got Jake, who's a great initiator, and Dave's been doing it all this year, shooting the ball, so I'm just playing my role and make sure to get these guys the ball and get Dave the ball and let him score like he did this weekend.
What's the personality breakdown amongst you three? Give me some inside scoop here.
I'd say all three of us are characters. You know, we have a lot of fun out there. We get each other's faces a lot in a good way. And, you know, sometimes I get worked up, Jake calms me down. Sometimes Jake gets worked up, I calm him down. And Christian usually stays pretty level-headed and usually, you know, he sees things out in the field and kind of tries to explain them to me and Jake. Yeah, Jake's kind of like a coach. We call him Coach Tripp every once in a while.
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty much the more level-headed one. Dave can be Dave can get these eyes sometimes where you're really really not sure what he's doing. But either Coach Matt Danowski tries to calm him down with a joke or something, or I just try to get a hold of him and say relax. And my man Skip Reynolds is a whole different animal.
Yeah, I would just say that after playing with these guys, Dave for 4 years, you know, living with him and playing with Christian for 3 years, you kind of figure out how you can talk to people. You know, you're not just going to point fingers or anything like that. You kind of figure it out. You kind of know who they are. So you can kind of either find a way to yell at them at one point or really calm them down. You know, I think that, you know, over the past couple of years, we've kind of figured out how to talk to each other and how to just figure it out, you know, amongst ourselves and how to get the best out of each and every one of us. So.
Gotcha. Well, a good segue into, as you mentioned earlier, the second midfield, younger group and, you know, talented with Josh Offit, Deemer Class, and Miles Jones. What's been the development and kind of the way you guys have worked together as a first midfield and a second midfield and splitting up shifts and what have you guys seen out of those guys and, you know, as kind of the senior and junior leaders of the offense, I would think. Just kind of what have you seen out of them and what have they brought?
Well, the development of the younger guys has been huge for the entire team. I mean, Deemer and Miles have really come together. I mean, Miles was playing on the first midfield line early and kind of just got thrown into the fire. But he's really starting to figure it out, and he's there when they score and they do well. That really helps the team. We get a lot of confidence from that. And obviously, Josh Abbott's having a monster year. He's a stud, and he's kind of he just the fact that he has no problem, you know, not playing on the first midfield line and playing with those young guys, bringing them along, has been huge for our team.
I would imagine that the development of those younger guys has been crucial for the season, as you mentioned. But you know, talk about the start of the year. You guys start the year 2-4. You've been pretty much on fire ever since. What's been the difference, you know, start of the year to the end of the year for you guys?
I would just say that, I mean, just kind of keep working. I mean, if we knew what the secret was, I don't think we'd have a problem every year, you know what I mean? I don't think we could put our finger on one thing. I think it's just a matter of just, you know, staying at it and trusting our coaches and just sticking to what we do. And eventually it kind of falls into place. It's kind of, you know, cliche to say, but, you know, there is no secret. Just kind of just keep working and trying to get better. So.
Yeah. Just to piggyback off Jake. I mean, I told myself now I'm a junior, I told myself after freshman year and sophomore year that I wouldn't let that 2-4 start happen again or let that slow start happen. But whether it happens or not, we just keep plugging away. It wasn't like we were practicing poorly those first, what was it, 6 games. There was no secret sauce. It was just, we just kept playing and kept playing. And luckily we got loyal and then things started to turn for us.
And you got to give some credit to the coaches too. I mean, they never let us get too high after a win or too low after a win. So kind of the way that they treat us helps us stay focused.
Is there almost, I mean, was there ever a panic or like a, not giving up, but like was there more concern this year than the last couple of years for you guys, or was it always kind of believing in the system?
I mean, I think we always believed in the system, but I know right around the, right before the Loyola game, right before the Maryland game, we played Maryland, Loyola, and then UNC, and I remember kind of just thinking to myself that, you know, we got to come out of these next 3 games with at least 2 wins. And at that point, I mean, there was a little bit of freaking out going on. I don't think anybody was talking about it, but maybe internally people were starting to worry, and that's kind of when it started to come together for us.
And I also think that with our schedule in the ACC, anytime you play a team like, you know, UNC, UVA, you know, if you kind of squeak one out, it's a quality win no matter what. So, I mean, just because we were down, we were 2-4. I mean, all you got to do is just get one and just build off that. So I think that, you know, there really wasn't any panic as far as is our season going to tank. It was more of just, can we play our best just for one game and then build from there? And against Loyola, we kind of got some bounces, you know, here and there and ended up pulling one out. And that kind of, you know, propelled us, I guess, in a way. But yeah, just about, you know, each game going from practice to practice and then to the next game and hopefully just figuring it out.
Also with that, it wasn't those first 4 losses, we played a very high-quality team. So there was no real, like, oh, man, like, we just lost them. We knew that the team like Denver and Notre Dame were going to be there at the end. So we were just, hey, we played them, we're going to see them again. I remember Coach saying right after we lost Notre Dame, hey, you're going to see these guys again. Wouldn't you like to have that chance? And we obviously did.
Well, I think, you know, it seems to me, you know, Coach John Donowski is such an enigma a little bit in the game in terms of his approach. It seems so different or very, very different from a lot of guys anyway, and just kind of the have fun, you know, seemingly laid back attitude. But tell us a little bit about what his leadership has been like for you guys and his style of coaching.
I think he's definitely an interesting guy. I love Coach, but it takes a little bit. I think as a freshman, you're almost a little bit confused with some of his methods. And like we had a 5th-year transfer from Harvard who came in this year, plays defense for us, and even he was very confused at the beginning of what exactly Coach meant with some of his comments. But once you kind of figure that out and listen to the message, the underlying message of everything he says, it's really easy to get along and a good guy to have coach you for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think coach's kind of like whole mantra is just to stay calm and just be you. And he's always, you know, as I'm sure you know, very laid back guy, loves to have fun, never gets really worked up. And I think he tries to, you know, instill that in his players. And, you know, we'd be down in a game and he'd be telling jokes or, you know, doing something just to kind of calm us down and just let us, relax a little bit. And I think that, you know, he's kind of taken that on each year. And, you know, he does a great job of kind of figuring out each team and figuring out his players very well. So, you know, he knows how to speak to people, and he knows how to obviously get the best out of his players at each given year.
Yeah, when we were playing Loyola and we were down one, he usually is in the defensive huddle, but he came over to the offensive huddle and just goes and just like kind of looked at all of us pretty calm, just goes like if we don't score, but we're gonna score a goal here. I know we're gonna score a goal here. And it was kind of his like his calm confidence that really helped us at that point.
Well, I've known the guy for a while, and I don't know him obviously as well as you guys do, but you know, watching him walk into the room at the coaches convention every year is just so perfect. Like he's just like Kramer walking in there. He knows everybody. He's pointing at people. He's like a rock star. It's every year. It's the same thing, and it amazes me every year. But I mean, are there any other good stories or kind of anecdotes that you have from Coach Stanowski over the years?
On the field, one of the things that sticks in my mind was it last fall when we played Georgetown here? Maybe my freshman spring, we played Georgetown, and we had a lot of opportunities in the first half, but I think we were down maybe 4 or 5 goals at halftime. It was 9-3. And he walks in the locker room, and everyone's not really saying anything, but we knew we were playing all right, just things were falling. And I remember him saying, in the front of the locker room, saying, does anybody think we're going to lose this game? And it was silent, and then we ended up coming out, and we turned around the second half and won. And that's kind of always stuck with me, just his, like, cool, calm, and confidence in his way of words with speaking to us, whether it's at halftime, before the game, you know, at practice every day, is definitely unique.
Well, it's good to see. It's obviously been effective. 7 straight Final Four speaks for itself. You mentioned, you know, Loyola, you guys go down 7-2 in the first round. That's probably an interesting halftime for you guys. What was kind of the vibe like in that halftime, and what was said there? Obviously something that worked, and you guys ended up winning that game in double overtime, but what was kind of the vibe like in the locker room there?
Well, I know initially people were pretty uptight when we walked in there, and I was trying to calm people down. It's just we know when we're not playing our best lacrosse and we're not really, and it's not coming together for us. And I think everyone knew that just wasn't, you know, that wasn't us, and that wasn't the best we could play. So I think we just needed a couple breaks, a couple goals, and a little confidence, and we could turn it around. And that's kind of what I was trying to instill in people.
Yeah, it's definitely, it always comes back to us getting back to what we do. Coaches harp on it all the time. You know, it comes back to ground balls, fundamentals. You know, so I think that helps us kind of focus on what we want to do, you know, each game. And then after that, it's just kind of just playing. So, you know, all the ball might not fall your way each time. Or in that case, in that half. But, you know, if we just keep fighting, keep doing our stuff, hopefully breaks will start to come our way. And, you know, it's all about just getting back to, like, what we do as a team.
What is it, I mean, I would think that this is something that some people would be interested in. What is it like playing in a playoff overtime game where your season's on the line, especially for you seniors, you know, your career's on the line? How do you kind of describe that atmosphere and you know, the right mindset to not be too nervous, but, you know, not be too laid back and kind of perform well in that instance?
Yeah, I definitely think it's definitely the back of your head. I can only speak for myself in this. It's you can't really think about it. You can't let it affect how you play. You know, obviously, if you're trying to be conservative in your looks or whatever, but you just kind of play it as an extra quarter. You know, obviously you know that, you know, if you make a mistake or they score, it's over. But I still think you got to stay aggressive and kind of put it to the other team, because, you know, they're thinking the exact same thing. So if you're confident in what you play and, you know, the looks that you're making, you know, you just want to kind of stick it to them as much as you can and be aggressive.
I'll say one thing also that helps with any game, especially overtime games, is we prepare very well during the week. Our coaches do a great job of getting us prepared for games. So when we come to game time, when we come to overtime, we feel like we've done everything we can in that given week. So while losing's in the back of your mind, maybe if that were to happen in an overtime game, if we had a lost Loyola, we knew we did everything we could to prepare, and we prepared hard. Our coaches worked with us on the offense. And so if that would have happened, it would have happened. But we were lucky enough to get a good break, and Case Mathias scored for us. So,
Yeah, during the overtime, I tried to be loose. I kind of just try to feel it out and see how everyone's feeling. But I like to look at like a Josh Offit or Josh Don or Jordy and just kind of like say a movie quote or make a joke. Just kind of try to lighten the mood a little bit and just kind of. Sometimes I feel like it's best to get your mind off potentially losing and ending your season. So I usually take that approach and then kind of bring it back in with like something serious. But usually just try to keep it pretty light.
What are your go-to movie quotes? Movies for quotes?
Happy Gilmore's been getting a ton of love lately.
21 Jump Street's got to be up there.
21 Jump Street. Caddyshack.
Wow, you guys.
We watched Beer League last week. I'm not a big movie guy, so whenever I get to watch a movie finally, and I like to throw a quote in there because Jordan Wolfe and his good buddy Eddie Loftus are two big movie quoters, and I'm usually on the outside, so whenever I watch one, I try to get a couple in.
Well, actually, speaking of Eddie Loftus, there is a question on Twitter from Cape Cod Swag District. Who's more instrumental to Duke's 7-year success, Chris Loftus or Eddie the Eagle Loftus?
That's
Cheetah or Eagle.
I don't want to break any ties with that one, but
I got a feeling Cheetah might be on the end of that question.
Yeah, Chris Cheetah Loftus spent a lot of time here at Duke. I think he spent 6+ years, so that's tough to compete with. But, I'd say they're about even right now.
Fair enough.
The whole Loftus family, to be honest. Mr. and Mrs. Loftus have been, making the trek down here from Long Island for 7 years, so they've been key in all this.
We'll make them the winners of this one, then. I think that's fair. And speaking of nicknames, does Eddie – or does the Eagle come off of Cheetah, or like where do these nicknames come from? And are there any other good ones on the team? I'm sure there are plenty.
Or Davey Kingsley.
Well, the Loftus family, they're all animals. So Dan Loftus, who's the oldest, who's a goalie, he's dog, Dan Dog. And then we got Chris Cheetah Loftus, and we got Eddie Eagle Loftus. And then they have a sister, but I don't think she has an animal name.
She's a good one.
But I don't really know the background story of that. Dave, do you?
No, I think Eagle kind of emerged because there was Dog and there was Cheetah and there was Eddie. And that just wasn't – that couldn't just be Eddie after Dog and Cheetah. So eventually he became the Eagle.
But Eddie's got Eazy-E. He's got Cheebles.
Cheebly.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of nicknames.
You guys have any nicknames?
My man Jake Trapuka, Trip, Skip. Trip Reynolds, Skip Reynolds.
Sevensburg.
We're pretty good with just ridiculous names in general.
Dave has an alter ego, too. His name is Bryce Larson. You might see it floating in the atmosphere a little bit. Yeah. So,
comes out.
Yeah. He's a whole different animal, though.
Nice.
I'm sure you understand all this.
Yeah, no, I'm writing all this down. I got it. I'm nailed. So I don't know where to go from there, but... why don't we focus on I've never had to segue out of that, something like that before, but why don't we talk about the week? You guys mentioned kind of preparation from the coaches being so critical for you guys. This is obviously a fairly important week in your lacrosse careers, heading into the Final Four to play Cornell. What do you guys focus on this week, and what's kind of the schedule looking like for you guys?
We're not exactly quite sure about the schedule yet. I know we're thinking about traveling Thursday, so... at least for the next 2 days, we shoot around 11, and then get a little break for lunch, and then we come back and have practice at 2:30. And as far as the practice plan, you know, your guess is as good as mine right now.
Yeah, we had a little bit of film work in there too.
Yeah,
trying to catch
usually
up
film after shooting.
Started with film last night, a little bit on Cornell, and about us putting last weekend's game to rest and seeing what we need to work on from our game against Notre Dame.
So is that pretty typical that the practice plan is kind of more kept to the coaches and you guys show up and have at it, or is that different in the playoffs than normal?
Yeah, we've been having a meeting, like a team meeting right before practice where they'll kind of go over the practice plan and explain why we're doing things certain ways. So that's usually when we find out what the deal is.
Yeah, and I kind of say it all the time. Dave's gonna probably gonna laugh at it, but we're kind of players. Actually supposed to play, they're supposed to coach, so we just kind of do what they say, and that's kind of what I want. Yeah,
players play coach.
Players
coach.
Play coach. So
fair enough.
We don't worry about anything else besides that. So
worry about what you can control. That's a smart mantra.
Well,
I like that.
From the great Kelly Chapin.
What is that? I mean, what is the key for you guys going into the Final Four and playing Cornell? What's next? I mean, how do you guys feel you're playing, and what do you need to do to come out of this, I would assume, the way you want to on Monday victorious?
I just think it's going to be a huge challenge. I mean, Cornell is probably the hottest team in the country right now. We're going to have to play one of our best games, or probably our best game of the year, you know, on the biggest stage. We've struggled. Me and Dave have been there the past 2 years. We struggled on the Final Four stage. You know, it's just going to be a big, big challenge. I mean, they got probably the Towerton winner in Pinnell. They got unbelievable defense that caused the turnovers and who loves to get out. You know, so it's going to be a huge challenge for us all week to kind of prepare for them. You know, they've been rolling over people. Obviously, they rolled over Maryland, who we struggled with. So it's just going to be a big challenge for us to kind of figure out what they want to do and how we can attack them. But again, we're going to need all 10 seniors to kind of lead us and hopefully get our best effort on Saturday.
Yeah, the seniors are kind of trying to express to the other guys that, you know, just getting to the Final Four isn't good enough, and we really need to be focused this week and just think back to the past two Final Fours where, you know, we got whacked by Maryland 2 years in a row and hopefully keep that in the back of our minds as something to motivate us. Just getting there is not enough.
Yeah, and we're definitely really excited for the opportunity. I mean, the Final Four is an awesome time to play, and there's a big crowd and stuff, but it is different. It's different than another game with all those fans there, and I can speak for myself. I'm really excited to get back there again now as a junior. I mean, my freshman year, I remember showing up and being in Baltimore, and wearing the Duke jersey wasn't easy being booed as you run into the stadium against Maryland with the hometown crowd. But we're excited for this opportunity, definitely. It'll be a great challenge.
Nice. One of the changes for you guys this year, you know, Coach Matt Danowski coming on board, working with the offense, and obviously, you know, the NCAA points leader currently. What has he brought to you guys? Have you picked up anything specific from him offensively?
He's been awesome to have around. I mean, I can see from both angles. I worked with him first early in the season when he's worked majority of the time with the attack, and now I'm moving to midfield, so I don't see him as much. But he just brought a different view to the team, and same with Coach Joe Sanowski too, because they're both younger guys. They see it more from our perspective, per se, than some of our older coaches like Coach Caputo, Coach Sanowski. But Matt's been awesome for the offense, and him and Coach Caputo work really well together, and it's been working.
Yeah, I think the fact that Matt went here, played here, you know, he knows all about the program. He knows kind of what we go through on a daily basis, and that's been huge, kind of communicating that to Coach Sanowski and interacting with us. He's been a great addition, so we're happy he's here.
Nice. What is the key to these kind of road trips when you're in a new city? I would imagine you have, you know, a fair amount of free time. What's the key as a team, you know, to kind of focusing but kind of not getting too wrapped up in the details?
I think it's just, as the coaches say, traveling well, you know, making sure you're getting a lot of sleep, taking care of your body. And for me, I try to not think about the game as much as possible sometimes. Like sometimes I think that, you know, pregame, if I'm like trying to get myself too pumped up or really trying to focus like too much on the game, I don't play well. I'm gripping the stick a little too tight. So for me, I like to kind of be laid back and just kind of relax, make sure my legs feel good and I'm getting enough sleep, eating right.
Yeah, I think the key to our road trips is the food. And we get fed pretty well on those road trips, and that's always nice.
Yeah, Joe Farrar does a pretty good job of hooking it up. Our trainer, he makes sure he picks out each meal. So we kind of give him a hard time to make sure he's picking out good food, but it's always pretty good. So
what's the team favorite?
There's a lot of chicken. Eating
at a lot of chicken parm. Yeah.
Standard.
I'm trying to think which was the best meal, but
we had a great fajita night. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Great fajita night. We had some chicken, we had some steak, guacamole. I'm a huge kind of Mexican guy. I love making my own stuff with that. So
it's pretty good.
It was pretty good. So Joe Frog, that one up.
It's pretty good.
It's actually pretty good.
It's not bad.
So Joe plans the meals and cooks them, or one or the other?
he might think that. He could probably pull it off. If he wanted to cook them, he could probably do it. He's a pretty good chef. But, no, he kind of plans it out. He kind of figures out what's kind of best for us as far as getting in proteins, getting in, carbs and stuff. So we kind of leave that up to him. Coach D has his hand in kind of what place he wants to get it from or order from. But Ferraro's kind of the guy who kind of decides what type of food. So.
Gotcha. Then last question, give me the music scene amongst the team. Is there a guy who plays most of the music in the locker room? What's the style? Is there a clash of cultures there between the different geographic backgrounds? What's kind of the lay of the land on musically for you guys?
I'm going to pass this along to my man, Dancing Rick, over here.
I'd probably give myself the team DJ award. I mean, I'm sure Kunkel, I'm sure Luke Dupree, I'm sure Dax Fred Cohen. Kirby, Dax Cohen will be pissed, but I definitely have gotten into the whole house kind of push. I kind of check websites or whatever, get some songs from people, but I definitely think our team kind of has a mix of house, definitely country the past couple of weeks.
Wow.
Just kind of just like throwback 90s songs.
Nice. Yeah.
I just try to keep it fresh, because again, if you're listening to the same songs all the time, you kind of get bored of them. So it's definitely good to throw in like a 90s song in there once in a while, or throw a house song on there, or just a country song. So it's just to try to keep the mood kind of lively. And plus our locker room kind of gets kind of rowdy with guys dancing and doing weird stuff. So it's definitely good to kind of get some energies from some music. So.
I gotta say, DJ Dax Cohen is in charge of the music pregame. He does a pretty good job. We like some of those sing-along songs. You know, as Dave said, we like to be loose before the game starts. So not all house or not all rap, but a little country sing-along. What's that song? Listen to
I'm coming over.
Coming over.
McCreary. It's a good
see
one.
You tonight. See you tonight.
See you tonight. See you tonight. He's an American Idol guy. Looks kind of weird, but it's pretty good song.
Also, Cruise by the Florida Georgia Line was a big hit with us.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, a lot of variety there. I like it. Well, then last question. Something I like to ask everybody, especially you guys, kind of from three different areas geographically. What was kind of one key to your development growing up in your area? Something that maybe, you know, a kid out there who's watching this could kind of pick up and do on his own to get better and maybe, you know, aspire to a level of a Duke in the Final Four, as juniors and seniors.
Go down the line. You ready?
Right down the line.
I'm not ready. All right, I'll go. I would just say it's kind of weird because Joe Sanowski is from my high school. So kind of growing up and watching his class play, they were kind of pretty good. He was always known as one of the better, D guys in the country. And kind of growing up in the Mountain Lakes program, I mean, I'm sure these guys can talk about it, or anybody can talk about like their high school program. But Tim Flynn, who was the head coach of the USA team, he kind of has his hand in that program very well. He gets kids at young age to work on their fundamentals and develop kids as I get older. I remember just looking up to guys like Joe and a couple other guys, just saying like, I can't wait to play, for Mountain Lakes. And I think that kind of like prepares you as you go on. And once I got to high school, I kind of developed from there. But I can definitely give my lacrosse kind of start to Coach Flynn.
Yeah, I'd say for me, part of my development was just playing a ton of sports. I played soccer, baseball, and hockey at one point, and then I switched over to football, basketball, and lacrosse. I was also a swimmer back in the day. Jake was giving me a hard time about that yesterday. We were in the pool.
He's a butterfly. Butterfly.
I used to do the butterfly pretty well. But yeah, just
how swimming.
Playing a lot of sports, I guess, is part of my development.
Yeah, I'd say just growing up in Baltimore. I mean, my grandfather was an All-American lacrosse player in Maryland. That's a family point. But, I always had a stick in my hand since I was young. So I was always playing in the backyard, and obviously going to a program like Boys Latin, Coach Bob Shriver is awesome there. So I got to give a lot of credit to him. But again, just seeing guys like, I mean, the names, just Travis Reed, Brett Weiss, Chris Boland, all those guys that you just grow up watching and idolizing was always really my driving force. I wanted to be there. I wanted to play in that big St. Paul's Boys Latin rivalry game. And that really spurred my interest in lacrosse and made me work harder.
Nice. Well, that's great advice. Appreciate it. Love the multi-sport guys. Always good to see. I know coaches appreciate that. So, well, thank you guys. I appreciate it. This has been great. Congratulations on your 7th straight Final Four. We will see you Saturday in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, 2:30 in the first game, I believe, ESPN2 live. You can follow along on InsideTheCross.com. But I want to wish you guys the best of luck, and thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Inside the Cross Podcast.